Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. The San Diego Jazz Party in California is go for February 15th through the 27th with music from the Great American Songbook performed by the world's leading jazz musicians. Artists scheduled are saxophonist Harry Allen and Houston Person, clarinetist Ken Poplawski, and bassist Nikki Parrott and Peter Washington. For more information, sdjp.org. Pianist and composer Armin Danilian performs at Gateways Inn in Lenox, Massachusetts, tomorrow night, February 11th, with trumpeter Chris Payson at 6 p.m. For more information, gatewaysinn.com. Pianist, composer, and New England Conservatory Jazz faculty member Ethan Iverson celebrates his new Blue Note release, Every Note Is True, at Roulette in Brooklyn, New York, tomorrow night, Friday, February 11th, 8 p.m. For more information, roulette.org. Vocalist Ileani Amherd and her trio perform at Room 623, Harlem's Speakeasy in New York City tomorrow night, February 11th, 8 p.m. For more information, room623.com. This Friday and Saturday night, February 11th and 12th at the Jazz Forum in Tarrytown, New York, vocalist and pianist Ileani Elias for two sets. For more information, jazzforumarts.org. Vocalist Dr. Trenise Robinson performs selections from her recent release, All or Nothing, with Princeton University's Jazz Vocal Collective on Saturday, February 12th at Richardson Auditorium, Alexander Hall in Princeton, New Jersey. Special guests include saxophonist Don Braden, pianist Cyrus Chestnut, bassist Mimi Jones, and drummer Vince Ector. For more information, music.princeton.edu. Pianist Dina DeRose performs in Miami, Florida on Sunday, February 13th at Corpus Christi Catholic Church. She'll be with drummer Matt Wilson and bassist Martin Wind. For more information, dinaderose.com. Vocalist Catherine Russell will be at Birdland Jazz Club inside of Birdland in New York City starting Monday, February 14th through Friday, February 19th. For more information, birdlandjazz.com. And now for new releases. Coming out tomorrow, trumpeter and composer Natsuki Tamura's Summer Tree on Libra and trumpeter Dave Ballou, reed player John Durker, bassist Luke Stewart, and drummer Mike Kuehl's Craft on Out of Your Head. Other releases already out. Guitarist Marcus Rutter's Truce 2 on Moon June and vocalist Ileani Amherd's self-release La Degustation. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. Thank you. My guests are saxophonist Javon Jackson and legendary poet, activist, and educator Nikki Giovanni. We talked about their collaborative recording, The Gospel According to Nikki Giovanni. The release on Jackson's record label, Solid Jackson, becomes available on February 18th. They're joined by Jeremy Manassia on piano, David Williams on bass, McClenty Hunter on drums, and Christina Greer, who reinterprets a poem by Ms. Giovanni on Wade in the Water. So thank you both for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Javon, in the press release to the recording, you say that, quote, "This music is something that people will probably be a little surprised to see coming from me." Why do you think that?
Well, because I'm a jazz head, and also in my recordings, I've been doing everything from Marvin Gaye to Frank Zappa and any other thing you can imagine. I've done a lot of different types of music, but never really delved in spirituals like this. So it's something unique. So I don't think it's that out of the way, but I think it's a welcome themed record.
Yeah. Were you conscious of the fact that Nikki attended Fisk University, where the Fisk Jubilee Singers began in 1871?
I was not, but I've been aware in my conversation about that. So I'm not going to lie today.
Nikki, as a student at Fisk University, did you participate in any singing groups while you were there?
No, I really can't sing, which is why I love the spirituals, because the spirituals don't require you to be able to sing. They require you to have a feeling. And they were created by the enslaved in trying to, and having people talk to each other. Music was how they talked. But you know, Javon, I haven't spoken to anybody, and I mean, that's anyway, and I talk to a lot of people who don't know you. I say, Javon and I, and it's, oh, I was just talking to a friend of mine in England, and I said, I'm doing it, we're doing an album with Javon Jackson. He said, oh, the saxophone player. So everybody knows you, which is really, I think, really, really great. And I congratulate you for taking the next step. The term that Javon uses, by the way, Cheryl, the term that Javon uses is make a dare. And I'm glad that he dared to put poetry together with his arrangement of the spirituals, so that we're talking about music that's essentially 200 years old that he is keeping alive.
Yes.
And I was just so pleased that he would agree and wanted to work with me, because I feel sometimes, Javon, sometimes I feel like I'm 200 years old. So, no, it was good. We have two generations working with music that kept people together and kept their souls together. I think that's so important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just want to throw in this factoid. In 2021, the Fisk Jubilee Singers won their first Grammy Award ever in the Best Roots Gospel category, their release appropriately titled Celebrating Fisk, the 150th anniversary album. Last year was their 150th anniversary, so it all ties in.
You know, that's basically, that's just prejudice that has kept they were the Fisk Singers from getting the recognition that they deserve. And it was Ella Shepherd who on Friday evening would gather a group together. Her mother, which was fortunate for all of us, could afford a piano. And so Ella learned from her mother how to play the piano. She attended Fisk, and every Friday, because that was before you had parties and things, she and the group would come together and she could play the piano and they would sing. When Fisk went bankrupt, she went to General Fisk, who was the president, and said, well, how can we help? And of course, being arrogant, he said, well, there's nothing you can do. We're going to have to close the school. And she said, well, we can sing. And ultimately, we're going to get Miss Shepherd and the Fisk, they're going to still be the Fisk Singers in England. singing mm-hmm. for Queen Victoria. Now, the next part of that that makes me so proud is Queen Elizabeth II of England asked to meet me because of a poem that she had heard me read. She said she liked it, and she asked if I would come and I'll meet her. And she's a horsewoman. So she asked if I would come to Richmond because that's where she was to see some horses. I said, of course. But the one good thing about Queen Elizabeth is that I'm taller than she is. And so in meeting her, you know, it was a reception. But in meeting her, I knew how to step into her space, which made her look up at me because she just, you know, nobody likes to be pushed like that. And I just stepped into her space and I said, Madam, we have something in common. And she said, oh. I'll never forget that. Oh. And I said, your great grandmother, Queen Victoria, invited the singers from my school, Fisk University, to come. They spent a year with her to save the university. And she said, oh, which was, you know, really, really wonderful. And I said, and in her honor, they became the Jubilee Singers, which is exactly how it happened. And she awarded them. Everybody always wants to say she gave, but they worked hard. These were people, many of them were born in slavery. Two were enslaved and old enough to remember the ugliness of it. And they worked for every penny. She finally, not finally, but she awarded them 50,000 pounds, which was a lot of money. 50,000, anything is a lot, but it wasn't dollars. People always refer to it as $50,000. It wasn't dollars, it was pounds. So it was quite a bit more than that. And in her honor, they named the first important building at Fisk University, Jubilee Hall. And I could share one other thing, then I'll leave you alone about Fisk. In those days, if you go back to Queen Victoria, the royalty did not speak to commoners. So Queen Victoria is on her throne, but she was fascinated by what she was hearing, by the sound that these people were bringing. So she leaned down to Ella Shepherd and she said, where are you from? Because it was fascinating to her. And Miss Shepherd said, we're from Nashville, ma'am. And she said, Queen Victoria said, why, that must be a musical city. And Nashville at that point became, and has always been known as, the music city. I just thought you might like to know that.
Wow.
Wow. Thank you for that. You're a faculty member at the Hart School at the University of Hartford in Connecticut and director of its Jackie McLean Institute of Jazz, named after saxophonist and musical mentor Jackie McLean. You decided to invite scholars of color and scholars who were freedom fighters and activists to speak to your students, Dr. Cornel West, Sonia Sanchez, Angela Davis, Michael Eric Dyson, and in 2020, Nikki. Why did you feel that jazz and improvised music students needed to hear from her? But first, how many of those students knew who she was when you brought her up?
Right. Well, I brought these individuals to the university, so not just for the jazz studies program. I knew the whole university was void of having voices of color, particularly Black people during Black History Month. So I said, wow, let me go out and try to give the students, white and Black, and all other ethnicities, an opportunity to hear firsthand understanding of what was occurring and what these individuals also see as the future for young people. So Cornell's a friend. He's a big jazz fan like Nikki. So he said, well, I'll come up, brother. I'll do it for free. I said, no, you're not doing it for free. So raised money for Cornell. And then every other artist that's come, we raised the money for those individuals to come. So I was very happy. And with Angela and Nikki, they received honorary degrees as well. And I should have done it for the other ones. But what happened, I just thought about Angela, she had come, and then the negotiation was for Nikki to come. She needed honorary doctorate. She didn't say that, but I said that the team needed that. I hope I don't get my head cut off. I'm a professor. I'm tenured, so I can say that. But no, I said that it was very important for her to receive that. And I just think it's very important, and Nikki and I always talk about this, it's important for people to know how much they're appreciated now. We don't need to talk about this 30, 40 years from now. Let's talk about it now. Let's let her know how much she's appreciated, and let's let her bring her her person to the university. So that's how that occurred.
Yeah. Nikki, you talk about a need for this music, for gospel, for hymns and spirituals. What is the need today?
The need is to, one, remember that nothing is dead. People keep talking about this or that, or the other person is dead. Nothing, well, leaves die, and they lay in the grass, and then the grass gets them. But for example, Jesus isn't dead. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. Toni Morrison isn't dead. We are dealing with Toni Morrison as if she were right here. My grandmother, for me, is not dead. And when the Museum of African American History opened, I went to what was called the Legacy Opening. There were going to be two openings, the legacy opening and the presidential opening. Barack Obama was president. I don't know if you've ever had to be bothered with the president, but it's a mess because you have, it really is so many people, everybody's, you know, trying to protect him and stuff. So I went to the legacy because I knew that nobody, not nobody, but the people, just the we who are. And when you do, and I'm doing this, I don't know if people can see it, but the museum goes around and it goes up like that. And I had not paid any attention, I guess, but I had forgotten that I was in it. And I turned, as we were doing that, I turned, and there was a photo of me. And I automatically turned to my left. And I was looking for my grandmother to say, see, grandmother, I did my job. And grandmother's not dead. Her body is resting someplace. But grandmother will never be dead as far as I am concerned, because as long as I love her and as long as I feel the need for her. And I have to say, without trying to preach or anything like that, I just feel so sorry for the kids today because they seem to not have anything to lean on. And Toni Morrison talked about Ventress, that there was nothing to remind you, as she said at one point, of slavery, not even a bench. And now we have benches because we all love Toni, and we put benches all over. I put a bench, I run a poetry contest called the Steger. And the Steger put a bench at the Furious Flower, which is a poetry house in name for Gwendolyn Brooks. And I put a bench there for Toni because they definitely should go together. But we forget, and the kids do too. And I think it's one reason that they're, as a generation, unhappy, that they have not really found their bench. They don't have anything to lean on, and they need to get back. I'm not against, you know, as a matter of fact, I love hip hop, but they need something more substantial. And so we come back to, I mean, you have a beautiful, of course, Javon did such a great job with Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. Not I am, none of that crap, just I want to be a Christian in my heart. And you're saying, I want to do better. And I think that things like that are so important. Or Jesse Norman, and of course, Javon probably listened that 800,000 times, but Miss Norman did that beautiful, you know, I've been buked and I've been scorned. And God knows that's true of all of us. I've been talked about sure as I'm born. Ain't going to let my religion down. And the kids today need to know that. That's exactly, they're a very different group. And we look at the children of the ministers, and all of them were from not just Martin, who was the child of a minister, but look at Marvin Gaye, look at Al Green, I mean, Aretha Franklin. They all are coming from religious parents for whatever things like that mean. And I think that what it means is that there's comfort. And I feel so sorry sometimes for the kids. You know, you talk to them and they're saying things like, I don't know, which is why I wanted the song on it that I got, that Joanne let me sing, Night Song, Where Do I Belong? That's such a wonderful line, that last line in that song. And the kids are saying, I don't know where I should be. I don't know what I should do. But we did. My generation did know. We knew that we had to do better. Or as the song says, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. And so we keep trying. It's not about the religion. It's about finding the comfort. And I think that's what music does. And I said to Javon, and I quit teasing him about it, but I'm a big space freak. And I know if there's an instrument in space, it would have to be a saxophone, because anybody will answer. You know, it can't be a trumpet, because trumpets just make a lot of noise. You know, it's just loud. It can't be a drum, because that's a bang, bang, bang. It's going to be a saxophone. And we'll be in the galaxy, and we'll hear this really comforting tone. It's going to be it'll be a guy standing there with the saxophone. And we will come to it. And we will find a way to make music together. No question on my mind.
Do I hear an amen?
Oh, there's plenty of amen there, that's for sure. Yes, you do.
This interview will air during Black History Month, aka African American History Month. The month has meant more to me in the last 3 years as I've reflected on what being Black has meant living in the United States. On the negative side, the loss of career opportunities and the disrespect and scrutiny of the public. But on the positive side, enjoying conversations with people who not only look like me, but who have had the same good and great experiences as me. Spiritually, how do you two choose to enter into February?
Well, for me, let me go first, because I know Nikki will have some very poignant things to say. I just take every day as an opportunity to get better. And the James Brown song, Get Involved, Get Involved, that's what I'm trying to do every day, musically try to get involved and do my part there. and where I can be of service to someone or something bigger than myself, because as long as I keep in perspective, it's the big picture. So the opportunity to know a Sonny Rollins, the opportunity to know a Nikki Giovanni, the opportunity to know all these other great artists that have a lot in common, which is trying to get it right, trying to be better, trying to do something that leaves an imprint for a legacy that they're not concerned with their own personal legacy, because that's really none of their business, as much as just trying to be, as John Coltrane would say, a force for good. So I think that's kind of how I try to treat every day. And I learned this from Angela Davis, actually, when she came to the university. She feels that we should start in our minds from January 15, which is, well, that's how she looks at it, January 15, which is Martin Luther King's birthday, all the way through the end of March, which is Women's History. That's how far she takes Black history. And I think that's great. So as we start in our minds to expand it, that it starts from January 1 to December 31st, and how we want to honor all of these incredible people that we don't even know. I mean, the composers of these pieces that we did, we don't know who wrote them. We don't know who wrote them, but we know what they stood for, and we know what the words stand for, and we can use those words as motivation and inspiration to be a better version of ourselves.
I couldn't agree more. But I also think, you know, when we think about it, the first thing we have to remember is that there would be no United States of America without Black people. And we have to remember which audience we're talking to. And we've spent a lot of time, my generation did, trying to say to other people, well, you shouldn't treat us this way or that way. And one of the things I like about Black Lives Matter, for example, is that finally we realized, oh, we're talking to the wrong people. Let's talk to the people who need to know my life matters. And it was such a thrill to me as a civil rights person to watch Perth, Australia march with Black Lives Matter in the death of George Floyd. I just thought that was the most fabulous thing. And in all fairness to the gentleman I know, and I know quite a few, and I have a son, but Black women are just the most incredible life forms on earth, or probably in the whole galaxy. Black women are just incredibly wonderful. And I think that we too, we're humble with it. I mean, we're not just, you know, we're not trying to say we're something that we're not, but we got your back. Speaking of benches, we got your back. And I don't think that there's one person, mother, sister, friend, who thinks, no, I don't have a sister here. And I was talking the other day, because I think she's such a wonderful kid, I don't know her. And I'm thinking about Beyonce, and I look at the work that she's done and how she's just quietly begun to continue to change things. And we look at some of the others, they're called stars, but a lot of people we know are not. They're the ones that are knocking on doors. They're the ones who are trying to feed people. They're the ones who are fighting for, you ought to get vaccinated now. And I just think I like February. It's the shortest month, and that's good. When we come out of February, we have more light. Is that not true? The light changes. And I like the idea that we spend some of this time, because February is a cold month. And so you spend some of this time with your friends, because you have to. I'm a football fan too, by the way, and I was watching the game Green Bay, which was just a terrible game, playing the 49ers. It wasn't a terrible game, but it was below zero, and then it started to snow. And I thought, that's criminal. You know, Green Bay ought to be ashamed of themselves. But I was so glad to see that gentleman when he kicked the field goal. And it means nothing to me one way or the other, but when he went to kick the field goal, I cheered, you know, kick the field goal, baby, just relax. And I'm sure that's what his mother was saying. I'm sure that's what his grandmother was saying. I'm sure he heard his grandmother whispering in his ear, you can kick this field goal, baby. Don't let him bother you. And he did. And 49ers won. And since the 49ers had better food, I was glad that they did. They do. They do. So, everywhere there's joy. And a part of my joy now is that I got to meet and I'm getting to know Javon. That's a part of the joy. And nobody's understood how you Black people can find joy in all the awful ways we've tried to treat you, all the things we've tried to do to you. There you sit and smiling. Yeah, because there's always somebody who loves me, and there's always somebody who I love. And I'm not going to let anybody take that away. So I love February. And this February is very special because I get to release an album with Javon Jackson.
That's great. I mean, what can you say to all that? I will say one extra thing, too. Ever since I was a little person, my mother played lots of records. And my father loved the saxophone. My mother loved the pianist named Mama Jamal. And so we heard all those things in the house. And as I started to play the saxophone, I used to try to practice a lot of fast things. And she would always whisper to me, play pretty. And so when I joined Art Blakey, she came to see me play. And I get a chance to go and play a ballad, which is a feature time. Each person in the band at certain sets would get featured to play a ballad with just the rhythm section. And she would always tell me, did you try to play pretty? And so over the years, that has stayed in my head. And so she's right. Those little words of wisdom you get, that's what means that that person is always right here on my side whispering. And so finally, it's getting close to me playing pretty.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just have one little request.
Yes.
You have Night Song way up at the top, one of the first things you play.
Oh, yeah. I've got that. Yeah.
That's a very simple wish.
Yes. Nikki, would you like to say something about your choice of Night Song?
I wanted to sing Night Song because Nina Simone was an old and dear friend of mine, and it was one of her favorites. Now, I know that Night Song traditionally is not considered a spiritual. It comes from the Broadway musical Golden Boy, starring, which is too funny, Sammy Davis Jr., who is about, 100 pounds. I mean, I couldn't imagine him playing a boxer. But Nina always, Night Song is a great song. And you have that lovely line, music. What a lonely song. Can't help but wondering, where do I belong? And Nina always loved that song. It's a beautiful, simple song, but she loved it. And I wanted it to be a part of this because Nina was she's a great woman. And she stood for things. And there were people that picked at Nina, and there are people that would like to actually forget Nina. But of the Javon was saying, and it's true, of the stylists, and I'm just a poet, but of the stylists, you have Billie Holiday and you have Nina. And they both do, something else with their voices. And so I'm honored. I think if anybody's sitting up in heaven having a drink with my mother, Nina's sitting there saying, your girl is trying to sing. She's trying to sing. Like, and they all laughing at me. But I love that so much, and I love the song so much. And I wanted Nina, not that I can make her be remembered because she's not forgotten, but I wanted to sing Night Song for Nina.
Summer, not a bit of breeze. Neon signs are shining through the tired trees. Lovers walking to and fro. Everyone has someone and a place to go. Now listen, hear the clouds go past. They don't even see me going by so fast, moving, going, who knows where. Only thing I know is I'm not going there. Where do you go when you feel that your brain is on fire? Where do you go when you don't even know what it is you desire? Listen, laughter everywhere. Hear it. Life is in the air. And night comes, and the town awakes. Sounds of children calling and the squeal of brakes. Music by the lonely sun. When you can't help wondering, where do I belong?
For more information on the Gospel According to Nikki Giovanni, JavonJackson.com or Nikki-Giovanni.com. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com, info@wgxc.org, feedback@wgxc.org, or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Our website is wgxc.org. And now for some music.
Black lives matter because I'm human.
Are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
willing to
specifically
do, that,
do it?
Well, I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it. You want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and right
like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right
proud boys. Stand back and stand by.
Our society speaks racism. It has spoken racism since we were born. Of course you are racist. Of course. The idea that somehow this blanket of ideas has fallen on everyone's head except for yours is magical thinking, and it's useful.
Make this a better world.
selections from two releases from 2021, from harpist Brandy Younger's Somewhere Different on Impulse Records, we heard Beautiful is Black. She plays with a different group of musicians on each tune. We heard her here with drummer Alan Menard and bassist Ron Carter. And before that, from keyboardist Luke Carlos O'Reilly's release, I Too Sing America, A Black Man's Diary on Imani Records. From it we heard Black Lives Matter. From the liner notes, my intention with this album is to convey the pain, the hurt and heartache that one goes through as a black man or woman living in America today. We are all too familiar with the news stories of black individuals that have been verbally, emotionally, and physically abused by the police. This physical abuse too often leads to an unwarranted death. The tragedy continues when those who are responsible are left unpunished, leaving families and communities without justice. My hope is that this music reminds us all that black lives really do matter. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. We appreciate your feedback. Feedback@wgxc.org or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Thank you.